March 2nd, 2002. It's the Watt from Pedro show. Thank you. From Pedro Show. We got a sound thing there, Brother Matt. we're working for a solution. We got some little speakers going, but
maybe next hour.
Yeah, because there was a software move we had to get going. But maybe with these little speakers, the microphone won't go feedback in these things, so we can actually monitor while we're talking. But
continually evolving.
Yeah, the future belongs to the efficient. Right. It's March 2nd, 2002, here at the Wild Kingdom Radio, live from the Love Grotto on Pleasure Point in Pedro, and sun's out. We've had some warmness this week, huh? We had some grayness, too. Had bright blue, bright full moon.
Yeah, that's cool. Cool.
Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
And some misty down at, not today, but the last couple of days riding down to Royal Palms, man, there'd been mist on the water that was heavy.
I caught my bitchin' little scene, picture in my mind, Paseo Cruz with Korean Bell on the hilltop.
Yeah.
Like a wild little misty fog all around it, and a full moon coming up behind.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, bitchin'.
Well, this was early in the morning, and it wasn't really up here, but it was down on the cliffs, and man, I get up on the rocks close to the surf, the foamers splashing on me, and it was, I mean, you could breathe this stuff in. It was cooler.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it was neat, and the birds were tripping on it.
Seal's been having sex. You hear him howling all day long.
So I'm sunning on the rocks.
Yeah, they dig it. It's nighttime, man. They just, like, echo down the street.
Yeah, you're a little closer to it here. I don't get to hear as much. I hear more helicopter.
Foghorn wake up
the other birds. There were some blackhawks this morning, or maybe it was the same one up and down. I don't know what that's about. You know, the bright orange ones, Coast Guard, that usually out for a
protecting
pluck,
our
right?
freedom.
Well, Coast Guard probably to safety, but the blackhawks are doing the protecting of the freedom. Oh man. Pretty intense tonight. Going with Pettibone to see the prep championship high school b-ball with Westchester Fairfax. Patabonius teach at Westchester.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He had a tour duty as a teacher.
Doing a little art gig?
Yeah. That was when it was still in, hobby mode. Not hobby, but paying the rent mode.
Getting the checks flowing, the month, once a month payday.
Yeah, so he did the L.A. City School District kind of thing, and he taught there. And both schools have had their ups and downs, you know, being champs and stuff, and they're both back upswing. He told me Westchester is one of the big schools in the country.
Wow.
It's by the airport.
Yeah, yeah. I used to live right down the street from it.
And then Fairfax, you know.
Yeah.
We went there.
It's, I coached basketball at Pedro one year, which was really a trip.
Right.
Season B's, the littler guys, theoretically. But we played Westchester. That was the first game ever for
me. Oh, wow.
And, man, they had 6-foot dudes on their team.
Man-child.
So, like, they kind of ignored the exponent. Trip that you needed to fit in that category. They were dunking on us.
Well, actually, we're in the city league, and they're outside the school district. CIF.
Oh,
right.
No, both those schools would be cities.
Were they city?
But they might be so good that they like won out and played.
Because
state.
I know there's this like Mirales and stuff there in the CIF kind of thing,
guys,
right?
Yeah.
And then there was. I mean, in my day, the city thing, well, we were the Marine League.
Yeah.
Right? With Narbonne and Bannon and Carson, and even that's gone away.
Yeah, they got the Pacific League now.
Things changed.
All the way out to the Valley, Pedro to like Chatsworth.
And I think the Catholic schools were in the CIF.
Yeah.
And they're the toughest because
they get the whole state.
They don't have school districts, so they can literally recruit.
Totally recruit, yeah.
Right, so they're usually the tough schools to be played in that.
Yeah, Verbum Dei is usually one of the hoop masters.
You're right, Westchester is in the city. Because that's what they're playing for is the city champ. And then I think they'll go up against CIF champ, Southern Section, and then play a northern thing for the state champ.
So that's a Staples Center then? Or
cool. Haven't been there in a while. Uh-huh. No more Laker games there.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Chicky breaking his hip?
Yeah, man, that's too bad, old Chicky.
Yeah. I mean, from the heart thing to he's had some blows.
Yeah.
He's putting gas in the car. Did a slip a dip. Or the car was rolling or something.
I didn't catch the full scoop.
He didn't put it in gear. Out of gear.
Spacing a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, get those old... Chicky, he's got a lot in that that hard drive of his.
Pretty fragmented. So anyway, best of luck for healing up for Chick.
Yeah, take care, Chicky.
And the Lakes, I don't know, 4 or 5 games in a row on the road. Now is the time to peak as playoff time comes closer, huh? Clips are doing okay, too, and I like that. But there's always been a special place in my heart for the Preps. You know, the refs, they run the game too much. I've seen it where they're just running with the whistle in their mouth, you know, and they blow it accidentally, but then they got to blow it on the other team, so they get these weird-ass, you know, trying to cover up for, you know, clams, basically.
Yeah, clams in every arena.
Right. But it's really intense, 2 20-minute halves, you know, like college sort of. And usually the team at halftime that's winning loses. Peak too early.
Mm-hmm.
Momentum's so intense in that with those kids. And I've seen some cats come up and go on to college and then pros too.
Yeah, you get some young stars.
Yeah, like you said, the man-child thing. Some guys develop very young. Mm. Like I remember seeing Ed O'Bannon at Artesia. I mean, that guy, he had Adam's apple, you know, size of a grapefruit, and big veins on him. And he's playing these guys that are still, you know, aren't shaved.
Yeah, total man playing children.
Yeah. And his age, you know, it's just they kind of develop different. And but I don't know. It's a neat kind of thing. So me and Raymond are going to see that Now, you saw us on the freeway last week.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to get a little uptown culture there. It's Pantages. I got turned on to The Lion King, which was really bitching. I'd never seen, like, the video or that stuff, but...
Miranda told me she saw that there, too.
Yeah, it was really cool. The costumes were righteous.
One of these ladies who danced in the Madonna Bees. Mm. She sent me an email. She said she went and saw The Lion King, and she said it was wild.
Yeah.
She'd
yeah,
never
really
been to a play. But on the way up there, you saw us.
Yeah, we're cruising alongside.
Me and Raymond were going to the horse track.
Ponies.
See some pony, other kinds
so
of theater.
So you picked on the old one, huh?
And I only won one race, you know. Usually, if I win, I win only one. I don't bet much, you know. I just love being there with Raymond. And I bet, yeah, in the fifth race, I picked the oldest horse with the oldest jockey and won. Paid like $24 or something. And so I came out maybe a little ahead. And Raymond does the big $1 trifectas and stuff. And we're not much betters or anything. We just like tripping on the thing, you know.
I usually pick the horse that takes a dump right before getting in.
We go to the circle and, or the big piss while it's walking.
That's my system.
Yeah. Maybe cancel out the ones with the tape on the front feet or... We go to the little circle thing and watch them walk. They're such beautiful animals.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, amazing. And then Raymond took me to the infield. I'd never watched from there. And I got to hand it to them jocks. I mean, those horses are thundering. 1,000 pounds each, you know, and these little guys are just hanging on. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, they're slamming down there, huh?
It was wild to hear that those hoofs beating on the turf, and it was turf. It wasn't even the dirt there. It was amazing to see them. They're brave, brave men. And the guy I bet on, Lafitte Pinkai, they call him the pirate. This guy's in his 50s. I mean, he's been doing this for over 30 years. He's got huevos. I mean, Jesus. Pretty amazing. Also, the culture that surrounds
it's a trippy little
sport,
world.
Or the lack of
gold
whatever.
Chains.
Yeah, people holding their babies and hollering, and it is a trippy kind of thing, you know. There's some windows where it's $50 or more, you know, and these guys are just other guys are behind them. They're playing all these combinations, incredible, you know. Win, play, show, the exactas, all this kind of things. You know, they're dumping
research.
Lots of dollars on, or they're all covering their asses every other way. I don't know
strategies.
What. Some kind of systems. I just pick one horse to win.
I'm looking usually. For who's taking a dump.
And, yeah. I usually go by the jocks. My favorite is Alex Solis. I like him a lot. He's Panamanian too, like Pirate. And but I like listening to Raymond. Raymond, you know, when he gets into something, he gets into it like he knows all the trainers, all the owners, all the histories. I mean, the pedigrees.
Full family history.
Just to sit there and listen to him is incredible. You know, it's very interesting for me. And so that's where you saw us going. I'm sorry I was oblivious. I was probably rapping with him and didn't notice out the window that you were driving by.
Yeah, bring him on down one of these days.
Hey, that's an idea. He has amazing knowledge of music, too. And yeah, we got to bring him on as a guest. Okay, Watt from Peter, so I'm feeling here a little bit, huh? Here's some Eddie Hazel. Oh,
this melody can bring. And with every note that I play, yeah, I play it for you.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. Some germs there from an Italian bootleg. Got strange notes. Pat Smear, great guitarist. Speaking of Pat, I got a call from Dave. He's going to... Pat was a Foo Fighter for a while. Dave Grohl's in town. He's going to play drums for Queens of Stone Age Thursday. We're a great band.
Where's that going to be?
Trube, I think. And he told me, you know what? It's first time I played drums for somebody since, you know, that tour we did, I guess it's 7 years ago now.
Wow-y.
Yeah, it was spring, March or April of 95. So that's a trip.
Nice having options, huh?
Yeah. Some other great guitarists. Nels Klein before that with Harbor Child from his new record, Nels Klein Singer's Instrumental. Instrumentals is the name of the record. And started off with Eddie Hazel. And From the Bottom of My Heart. The Gems from the Heart bootleg. Let's see here. Watt from Pedro show. Some Sly.
Hanging booth.
Watt from Pedro show. The late, great Charles Mingus. I don't think he ever played an electric bass. In fact, I read something in a book where, in fact, this is like from the best of his Atlantic stuff, and it was an Atlantic session, and they wanted him to work with some young man coming up. His name was Stanley Clark. And Mingus, the guy comes in with a bass guitar, so he's kind of like, whatever. You know, he says the first, I first saw those things with, the cat who was playing stand-up for Nat King Cole. He put his stand-up through an amp. Anyway, so Mingus thought, that had already been done. So Stanley Clark, he's trying to show this Stanley Clark guy take the A-Train, and Stanley Clark said, I don't need to know that. So you can imagine. Anyway, that's Pithecanthropus erectus. It's always hard for me to say. And before that was Sly with You Caught Me Smiling. Not slime. At the end of the first hour of the Watt from Pedro show, almost done here. We're coming up on the second one. Stay tuned for Brother Matt's Spin Cycle. Some more Watt tunage and spieling. We're trying to get a hold of DJ Talia, but she lives incredibly far distance down the block. And
she's elusive.
Yeah, sometimes she said she wanted to come here, but anyway, we'll see. For sure, we'll have the fourth part of Fourth Tower of Inverness and third out. So, March 2nd, 2002 edition, Watt from Pedro show, first hour. All done. March 2nd, 2002, second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Here's Thurston Moore with some Female Cop.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go now. Sorry about that, folks. A little funky with the flippiness, which you'll hear. But this is Brother Matt, and that was Thurston. So, it's still Thurston in the background. Here on the Watt from Pedro show, live from Pedro at the Wild Kingdom, at the Love Grotto on Pleasure Point. It's about time for the spin cycle. And so, without any further ado, let's start spinning.
歌唱，要给别破烂，要叫做一批车歌唱。
wonderful.
iPod is retrieved, so thanks again for another fine installment of the Spin Cycle.
Cool.
Here's something I got. You know, in the old days, I'd go by Zed's, and I'd find these record. You know, they had record bins there of 7 inches and stuff, and you know, sometimes they wouldn't even have covers. You know, they'd just be a white sleeve. You know, and some kind of label, and I would just pick things because of the, I don't know, name of the song, name of the band, I don't know. I was just curious. So, here's something from England.
On a bus, on a bus, on a bus, on a bus.
Thank you.
Let's go. Down your knowledge till you resuscitate the worm.
From Pedro show, had to do a little fade there on the Subway Sec. That was from the 70s, one of them first punk bands in England, Subway Sec, with Don't Split It. Before that, Sacred Trust from the new album, Resuscitate the Worm. We had Richard Hell before that with a Van Morrison song, I Can Only Give You Everything, and then him singing with Television from a Live thing, too, I think 1975. And we started with Ghetto Berries, Spunky Express, from just a blank sleeve, generic, whatever. I went and
blank grab.
Just did the, yeah, did the pinata grab, burst the thought bubble. End of hour two here, March 2nd, 2002 edition, Watt from Pedro show. It's March 2nd, 2002, a sunny Saturday in Pedro, here on the Wild Kingdom Radio, live from the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, with me, Brother Matt. It's time for that regular installment I've instituted a few weeks ago. We're going to play for you now part four of the Fourth Tower of Inverness.
As once again we look in on the stately old mansion of Inverness, the storm has knocked down the power lines. In the darkness, Jack has been led off to the dining room. So he thought. Instead, he now finds himself once again in the clutches of the exquisitely beautiful and deadly dangerous Madonna Vampira.
Oh, no, you don't. I know all about you. You're not going to have me for dinner.
Please, I need your help.
Let's just keep a little distance between us, okay?
But I need your help. Alone, I cannot overcome this thing that's inside of me, this terrible thing that makes me hurt when I only want to love.
Well, look, I'm not a shrink.
All I ask is understanding. You push me away as though I'm some hideous creature, some demon that will, what, tear away your soul, devour your mind, and cast your carcass out onto the streets of some city where you'll walk with the rest of the zombies. Have you ever in your life given anything to anyone?
Well, sure,
Oh, crap. You've given like everyone gives. I mean, given without asking, without expecting anything. Given without attachment. Given not from your head, but from your heart. Oh. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I just need help. And...
Oh, wow. Look, if I could trust you... I mean, how can I trust you?
You haven't looked in my eyes once since we've been in this room. Look at me. Am I taking anything from you?
You look like an angel.
Look like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Talk like an angel.
But I got one.
All I ask is that we be friends.
That's fair enough.
Would you like to see the jukebox?
You mean the one that plays whenever...
That one, yes. Come here.
Good grief, the wall is moving. Wow, a secret passage.
Follow me. This way.
These walls must be amazingly thick. I bet there's passageways all over the place. Is this where you live?
Yes.
Oh, what's it like?
Long and narrow.
So strange. It reminds me of the Middle Ages.
I know.
I like the way you have it fixed up.
Thank you.
Paintings, wall hangings, tapestries, velvet drapes. Oh, what's this? A harpsichord?
A clavichord.
Do you play it?
Yes.
But you aren't the one that plays the jukebox.
No one plays the jukebox. It plays by itself. The wall narrows here. Your shoulders may not fit, so turn a little sideways. The steps upward become very steep. Be careful.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Feels like a size 38 when you take a 42. These steps are something. How much steeper did I get?
Much steeper. We're entering the tower.
Well, if only there was some kind of a railing. Golly, this is almost a ladder. You sure we won't topple over backwards?
Going up is easier than coming down.
You know, I used to have dreams about this stuff. Boy, oh boy.
Here we are. There. Come in.
I don't mind climbing ladders, but steps that go straight up. Say, this is nice up here. I'll bet during the day you can see for miles.
Over here is the jukebox.
Wow, an old Wurlitzer. And it's all lit up. They must have the auxiliary generator going.
Or they fix the power lines.
Oh, look at this thing. It's beautiful, the way it changes colors. It's really a piece of art.
Yes.
Let's see. What is there to select? Vilayat Khan, Rinpoche, Baba Ram Das, Mahishi Yoga, Van Vliet. That's weird. There's no 50s songs here. I'll try one. Let's see. Where's a dime? Hey, you get two plays for a dime. I'll try B4. Baba Ram Das.
Where it is that we are on the path. And the path is fraught with the most fantastic things. You know, right over the bend is eternal damnation. There are parts that are like a roller coaster. You know, you just get to a high place where you're able to say Krishna's name with love. And the ego walks behind you and pats you on the back and says, pretty good.
That was short. Let me try this Venerable Van Vliet. B12.
You listen to, like, practically no rock music, or none, just about.
Well, I'd rather listen to a rock. They change a little slower. They don't try to stay so hard.
That's some Wurlitzer. What do you think? Hey, she's gone. That's strange. She must have crept back into the woodwork. What's that? A trap door in the middle of the floor. Something's coming up. Oh, it's you, Meenie Eenie.
Good evening, Master Jack. You have stumbled upon the Wurlitzer of Wisdoms. There's a price, you know.
Oh, I know. A nickel apiece. They're a little short, but, well, it's not bad.
The price is slightly more. It's just like heaven.
Wait a minute. That music. That's the other jukebox. It's coming from another tower.
Yes. And whenever it plays, it means something very naughty is about to happen.
I know. Here I am, stuck up in this tower, but someone down there is going to need help.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about it, Master Jack.
Why are you holding that big cleaver?
One pays the Wurlitzer of Wisdom in many ways. But one does pay.
Well, I thought a nickel was fair enough. But since you feel it's worth more, then more it's worth.
The price for wisdom is very high.
Well, with you standing there rubbing your thumb along the cutting edge of that cleaver, I don't feel I'm in a very good bargaining position.
Everyone pays the piper.
Well, how much is wisdom worth a pound nowadays?
Not money, you tiny fool.
Then what do you want?
The price is your heart.
Now in the darkness, except for the faint, eerie glow made by the Wurlitzer, she lunges. Jack steps aside. The heavy cleaver slices into a 2x4. She yanks it free. Jack looks desperately for something to defend himself with.
I don't consider this very neighborly, meanie-eenie.
You'll do no more considering in a moment, Master Jack.
Once again she stalks him, Jack slowly backing as she approaches. Cleaver held high, an insane glow in her eyes. She strikes. And misses again. As he frees the cleaver from the wall board, Jack makes a lunge for the main trapdoor. He has it open. Too late. The heavy meat cleaver has knocked the door right out of his hands.
This is the one, Master Jack!
Well, wait a minute. Hold it. I put a dime and two nickels in that jukebox and only heard three selections. I've got one more coming. Let's see. B2.
Well, be quick about it.
I know. And that I don't know.
Ah, that's better. A little background music. Shall we dance?
We'll dance, all right.
Now, moving back along the wall by the tall, towering windows, Jack does creep. Meanie-eenie stalking, her eyes flashing hot. The cold steel of the heavy meat cleaver reflecting the ever-changing colors of the old Wurlitzer. And again she springs, this time with such incredible speed, Jack barely moves in time, and as the cleaver whizzes past his ears...
Hey, I ain't no Vincent Van Gogh, and I don't care to look like one either.
Would you prefer, say, John the Baptist?
Well, I see little future in that.
Aye, perhaps little future for you, Master Jack. But for me, it means getting ahead, so to speak.
I see the humor, but somehow...
You missed the point, is that it?
Hey, you're pretty sharp.
Enough of this! The time has come!
Meanie-eenie lunges. With a ferocious arc, the cleaver smashes down once again as Jack leaps back. But he catches his foot on the ring of the trap door. He trips and loses his balance. Meanie-eenie sees her chance and springs for the finale. But as Jack falls backwards, a wall panel swiftly opens and in he goes. It closes behind him as the tip of the cleaver smashes through the panel.
Quick, down this way.
Boy, am I glad to see you, little Frida. That whole thing was a bit much, you know.
Shh. We'll be passing the dining room soon.
I'm certain he's all right, but you've hardly touched a thing this evening, Meanie-eenie.
Hey, wait a moment.
Really? Are you dieting or merely nibbling?
I don't like roast dachshund, and besides, I'm off meat.
Won't you at least have some boxer's ears?
I'm just not hungry tonight, Sarah. Full moon, I suppose.
Boxer's ears?
Cauliflower. Come, one.
Look, if Meanie-eenie is having dinner, then who was chopping at me with that cleaver?
Would you like to go back and see?
No. I was just wondering. Look, where are we going?
This way.
A tunnel. You know, I always knew that jukebox wasn't in the East Tower. Darn it, I saw four towers. No one believes me.
I believe you.
Really?
I believe you've seen the fourth tower.
Oh. Well, have you ever seen it?
I wouldn't be here if I had.
What does that mean?
In the last 300 years, there have been 7 people that have seen the fourth tower of Inverness, and they've all disappeared.
To where?
You will see the fourth tower again, and when you do, we must move quickly. It won't last long.
What happens if we do get inside?
It'd be nice if you were able to get back out again. Ah, this is the trap door that opens beyond the maze. Here, hold my cigar. There.
Say, we are on the other side of the maze. I've been meaning to check that out.
You particularly. You stay away from that maze. I'll explain why, but not now.
Look, you didn't answer my question. What happens if we do get inside the tower?
You will arrive at a place where you'll be able to be anywhere, whenever you wish. For the place where you'll be is outside time and space.
Ooh.
As we look in on the Inverness mansion, we see Jack and little Frida tromping through the pine forest that surrounds the Bay of Inverness. The rain has passed. It's night. The moon is out, casting a silver light upon the pine trees. They come to a clearing, an open field. In the center of the field is a giant oak tree, its long, thick limbs spreading outward like a creature with a thousand arms.
Jack, this is the oak. Oak, this is the Jack.
Well, I'm glad to meet you. Should I shake a limb or something?
You don't talk to oaks like you talk to people. I'll show you how you do it. Here, sit down here with your back against the trunk.
Okay. The ground doesn't seem to be too damp.
What you do is sit for 10 or 15 minutes and feel the presence of this tree. Oaks and pine trees are best for this.
Oh, what's supposed to happen?
Trees are kind of like people stuck head first into the ground. Trees give off energy, which is very pure. If you know how to tap this energy, you can charge up batteries. Also, it purifies you. Now what you do is sit there silently and feel the tree. Don't think about it. Feel it. With your heart, not with your head. Some people, after a while, may even hear the tree.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm. But everyone can get energy from a tree. Here. Now we'll try it. Don't think about it, Jackie boy. Feel. In the past, we were mind-created spiritual beings nourished by joy. We soared through space, self-luminous and an imperishable beauty. We thus remained for long periods of time. After the passage of infinite time, the sweet-tasting earth rose from the waters. It had color, scent, and taste. We began to form it into lumps and eat it. But while we ate from it, our luminosity disappeared. And when it had disappeared, sun and moon, stars and constellations, day and night, weeks, months, seasons, and years, made their appearance. We enjoyed the sweet tasting earth, relished it, were nourished by it, and thus we lived for a long time. But with coarsening food, the bodies became more and more pure, differentiated, and hereupon the division of sexes came into existence, together with sensuality and attachment. But when evil, immoral customs arose among us, the sweet-tasting earth disappeared. And when it had lost its pleasant taste, outcroppings disappeared, and other self-originated plants deteriorated to such an extent that finally nothing edible grew by itself, and food had to be produced by strenuous work. Thus the earth was divided into fields, and boundaries were made, whereby the idea of I and mine and other was created, and with it possessions, envy, greed, and enslavement to material. Jack, Jack, would you like to go?
That was amazing.
Come, one. There's something else I want to show you.
Just amazing.
It's not far from here.
And it feels like it could be true. Wow.
It's simply a matter of bringing oneself to rest. Then, all will be revealed.
You know, I always knew there was something to those books about spirits that floated around in the skies. Boy, oh boy. Hey. Where are we? What a weird place.
Yes. Well, it's very old. It was used for a ritual of some kind.
Evil?
I don't understand evil. Or good.
Really?
Mm.
Well, as you were saying...
There are 7 pillars here, in a circle, you see? They would call it a place of pagan worship. On the side of the hill, over there, but in the shadows away from the moon, is a cave.
You mean over this way?
Yeah, but don't go over there.
Hey, look at this.
What? What? What have you found?
Down there, in the damp ground. There's fresh tire tracks. Do you see what it looks like?
A 5-speed Italian pedal master.
That's right. And they lead right into that cave
over there. Oh, no,
Jack. Good God!
Ah, look out! Coming out of the cave!
Holy smokes, it's a dragon!
It's true. Stomping out of the cave, headed right for them, is a dragon. Its tail twitching, its eyes flashing, its claws oozing into the wet mud. From its mouth and nostrils, great billows of hot fire. The pair stand there, immobile, transfixed by fear. Jack with his eyes wide, blank, insane with fear. And little Frida, mouth dropped open, and her pigtail standing straight up on end.
Smokes and leaping lizards. In a second, he'll be on us. Feats, do your stuff.
Little Frida stands as though hypnotized by the terrifying sight. The dragon is almost upon her. Its fiery breath billows about the little girl, singeing the ribbon on her pigtails that still stands straight up on end. In a flash, Jack streaks before the gaping, fire-spewing jaws of the dragon, snatches up little Frida, takes 6 or 7 giant bounds, and dives headfirst into a nearby frog bog.
Oh. Hey, it's gone.
Wowie zowie.
You think it's safe to wade ashore?
I think so. But we'd better leave quickly. Wait, I'm sorry. I got this water all over me. Oh!
Boy, that was close.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. How badly are you burnt?
Oh.
Well, that's strange. You're all right.
Mm-hmm.
That thing singed every hair on my head, but you were standing right in its flames.
Yeah. I was looking at its eyes.
Anyone I know?
You didn't notice the eyes?
Well, I sure did. They were about the size of my head, almost. What? Oh, sorry, I had a frog in my pant cuff. Anyway, that's what Dr. Mazzulla was talking about. Dragonfly paper. I hope he knows what he's doing. What do you know about dragons?
I guess they must have been left over from the dinosaur age. But clear into the Middle Ages? And now? I don't believe anyone's been keeping this one in deep freeze.
Well, it wasn't a Hollywood mechanical model, that's for sure.
I know, but there's such a thing as thought forms.
Now, don't tell me I thought up these singed eyebrows of mine.
Well, what I'm saying is that we are constantly surrounded by other people's thought forms. Like being inside a house or a church. Someone thought it up, and there you are, in their thought form. Streets and buildings and signs, they're all thought forms. Once a Greek sculptor by the name of Takis said that this sculpture was merely a springboard to spring our mind into space. Because where the inspiration, or whatever you want to call it, where the inspiration comes from, was from space. The sculpture was merely the manifestation of that inspiration. And as you looked at it, you experienced and relived where it came from in the first place. So you see, we take the forms at face value. We say, that piece of sculpture is reality. But equally real is the mind that created it. So in space is everything. All you do is reach in and give it form. But it already exists, you see? That's it! Wowie zowie!
Huh?
I think that's it!
Well, I don't know. I thought it was all supposed to be an illusion or something.
You think that dragon was an illusion? No, it's all real. It's like when you look at a seed, and resting in the seed is the potential for an enormous tree. But it doesn't exist yet. Look at this spider web. You see the dewdrops clinging to it?
Yeah. What an incredibly beautiful pattern it's woven.
It brought that pattern into existence. But the pattern existed in space, just like in the seed. It's just that the reality we're talking about is of a lesser degree compared with the highest reality accessible only to a perfectly enlightened one. It has no more existence than the objects of dreams or clouds or lightning flashes. Nah, these things as we see them are as real as the mind that creates them. But you see, like the sculpture, our mind is created. As soon as it's taken material shape, it obeys the laws of matter. And when they speak of illusion, it's all an illusion.
Well, that's very interesting, but... Well, I don't know. You mean as you're able to get back to the source, you can change the material? You could actually change your body?
Well, only step by step, by controlling them in their initial states, or in the moment they came into existence.
Then, in other words, you could become anything you wanted, materially.
If you knew how, sure.
Even become a dragon?
Yeah.
So that dragon is someone we know.
I know.
See, out there somewhere is like, you know, Jack Armstrong. Superman. It's all just as real as you are, and I am. And the Lord and the angels in heaven, how about them? Do you think they're the figment of somebody's imagination? Huh. Nobody makes up anything.
All right, the fourth installment. That's getting to be a favorite word of mine now, installment. Fourth part of the fourth Tower of Inverness. Pretty conceptual, huh?
A little mind theater.
Okay, I'm going to play you some stuff now that Watt plays on. First, some pair of pliers a year and a half ago.
that you want. I'll tell you it won't feel. I don't want another side, even a side of something negative. I'll play you sweet. Oh, sweet on your back. Sweet on your back. Man, sweet on your back. Love your back. I love the way you crash. We all told that. No bad heart, I'm taking the heavy breather. I'm a little sweet on that beat.
From Pedro show. Let me get this. We're getting ready for a session from DJ Talia, so a little confusing there. I played some stuff that I play on. We started off with the Getting Down Down, a pair of pliers in Chicago. Really trebly dinky sound on the bass. I had left my little bass in Iowa City. Sorry. And I wasn't too professional, was it?
Nature
call. All right. And the night before Madison, I had to borrow somebody's bass, and then I had to do it again this night in Chicago. But I was very lucky because the sound man at the Iowa City gig was doing sound for a band in Chicago. So the next morning, I got the little bass, which... you can read about it in my diaries. I made a diary for this Banyan tour, by the way, if you want to go there. Hootpage.com. HOOTPAGE.com. I also put a page up for some movies. If you ever wanted to see what a terrible actor I am. There's a couple movies. Raymond's made a few movies, and I'm in two of them 12, 13 years ago. But this summer I made a Morrison one. And, you know, I saw, Carducci sent me one, and I hadn't seen these things in many, many years. And I'm all puffy and drunk, and it's terrible. I play a very Stalinist kind of character named Dwayne that has a punk band in the 70s. And Mike Kelly is this cat in the band with me, and I just have no mercy on this guy. It's intense. There's a young guy who, cousin, I guess, I mean, in the concept of the movie, who ends up the singer. And this kid hung himself last year. Well, he's a man. But. And there was another guy, Joe Cole, in it, who was shot to death. And so it was trippy watching this film. It was heavy on me, you know. Plus, looking like an idiot. I got a white shirt on, you know, because I thought I should wear some shirts from the 70s period, you know, for Raymond. And, it's like my hospital dishwashing shirts. And I had, they're white, you know, and from drinking, I have a gut, you know. I'm pogoing. One thing starts with me pogoing and bun huggers with Mike Kelly, which is pretty embarrassing. Safety pin through my mouth, and I start kissing picture Sid Vicious. And there's all these cigarettes, you know. And I didn't smoke cigarettes, so it's really incredible to watch me puffing. And then Raymond has me lighting two at a time, so it's like, you know, double gagger. Anyway, this white shirt I got on, I guess I had a pin in it that leaks, so there's some big old ink all. I mean, it's out, and we're drinking these beers and malt liquors, and maybe it's different if you're not in it. and you see it. Raymond's even in it for a little. It's a funny movie. Anyway, check that out. It's called Sir Drone, and it's funny. I mean, the script is incredible. It's great. Brilliantly captures those times where no one was supposed to, you know how the scene at the mask was, all these people came from these towns away, you know, from hardly anybody was from Hollywood. So hardly anybody knew each other. So this whole thing that you had a life before punk was not supposed to be acknowledged. Like no one, you know, there's this heavy thing on everybody being hippies. And he picks up on it really astutely with the script and stuff. It really makes me laugh. It was funny, you know. What had happened is you'd have a couple friends that knew you as a boy. And when you had long hair and cut offs or whatever, and very incriminating, you know, that you just didn't hatch in 1977, you know. You were supposed to have no background. Well, anyway, before that, after that, there was Hollow by Wild Rats. I play the bass on there from the record that's going to come out someday. Ron Ashton on guitar. I'm going to play with him in a couple weeks. And Jay Maskus. I just did a spiel with Jay over the phone with LA Weekly about this. Because Scotty's going to play, too, the drums. So we're going to play with the Stooges rhythm section or whatever. It was later, you know, Raw Power, the song that Ron does not want to ever play, you know, which I don't blame him. But Jay said the same thing. He just didn't like the Williamson guitar, and he learned so much from listening to Ron. Has Mark Arms singing and Steve Shelley on the drums, Thurston on guitar. And then just there was the last gig of the last tour I did with John and Terry show, Rocky Erickson's song, Sweet Honey Pie. Had to make that gig up at the end of the tour because it was called off because it was September 11th. Okay, we got DJ Talia to come in. And
she's arrived.
She's arrived and she's going to let loose with the spins. So, DJ Talia.
Make a change. Ride that man right off your range. 66, and this is Singing and Flute in the Dome of the Taj Mahal.
This is a journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. Journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. 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 A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new value. New dimension, new value. And a new experience. Stereophonic sound. Stereophonic sound.
Watt from Pedro show. End of another, I'm going to use that word, installment.
Edition.
That was installment. Thank you very much, Taya. That was great.
Thank you.
Brother Matt, thank you much for your invaluable assistance.
Thank you.
Very much essential.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Pedro, for giving me a sunny morning to pedal. And not too many hard looks from the hombres driving. You know, I was talking to somebody about that. You know, these guys see me every morning, you know, bright orange helmet. Why'd they smile?
Yeah.
You know, always giving me the hard looks. And,
DJ.
Yeah, it's like.
I always honk at you when I see you.
Maybe it's because I go away on tour, and so it's like, oh, man, where's the weirdo? Whatever. March 2nd, 2002, edition of Watt. Installment. The Watt from Pedro show. Thanks much. See you next week, everyone. Keep your powder dry.